Chapter 15.
Dell had definitely harbored reservations about the going undercover aspect of the mission, but he found it easier than he had anticipated. He'd always communicated better with his hands than with words, and once they'd cleared the cover story hurdle and Staven had agreed to let Pia Cow show him a few things, it got much easier. He'd never met a Chadra fan before. Although he had grown up on Coruscant, which was home to many species, he hadn't really interacted with many non-humans, certainly not once he was part of the Imperial War Machine. It took a little while for his ear to get accustomed to Pia Cow's high voice, but once it did, he felt right at home. In a way, even more than he did with his fellow squad members. Because Pia Cow's first language wasn't chittering and cheeping, it was mechanics. Just like Dell's. Under the Chadra fan's watchful eye, Dell had been entrusted with the repair of certain vessels. So far, they were minor issues, mostly maintenance. Pia Cow promised him that soon they would start repair work on what he called a very sad starfighter. Everything had emotional resonance for the Chadra fan, who had an insatiable curiosity and loved to tinker. Nothing, not an eating implement, not a bolt or screw or metal scrap or brightly colored stone, was overlooked. How he managed to find half of the things he collected was a mystery. And it was nothing short of unbelievable to watch him diligently turn these found bits and pieces into emergency replacements for certain items, new inventions, and sometimes just some kind of gizmo that whirred, blinked, and moved and did nothing but amuse. And then he turned to Dell and grinned, his lips pulling back from sharp little teeth. When he wasn't being supervised, Dell turned all his attention to the droid and the comlink. He'd sent the droid out for various things several times already. An extra bottle of water, or a tool, or a piece of fruit. The dreamers had gotten accustomed to it wandering around, humming a little to itself. Very soon, they'd cease to notice it as it went about its duties. Iden, of course, was the leader, and should be the first person Dell sent the droid to once he'd accomplished his goal. But Sen was the one who appeared to be the most accepted, and therefore the most likely to be permitted some solitude. Besides, she had given him some nonverbal cues that made him feel she had discovered something significant. Iden would just have to understand. Sen had been the one to advise against wearing communication devices of any sort, no matter how cutting-edge or cleverly disguised.
If this group has access to the sort of information we think they do, they may be aware of the latest technology, she had said. They'll be alert, at least at first, until they trust us.
Now Sen was kicking herself. She had learned something very important and very disturbing when Iden had arrived on Geosyn, and over the last couple of days she had tried and failed to find a way to speak with Inferno Squad's leader. Iden and the rest of the team needed to know what their intel specialist had discovered. Sen had been the first to arrive. She'd been questioned, of course, as Dell and Gideon had been when they arrived. Iden was being interrogated and examined, too, but the deep suspicion with which the Inferno Squad leader had been viewed troubled Sen. Iden was enduring much more scrutiny than Sen had expected, and she wondered if Staven had already made up his mind about the Admiral's daughter. She'd been relieved when the mentor had said something to Iden, and the two had left together earlier. Someone, at least, was reaching out to Sen's commanding officer. Sen had noticed that while the mentor often went on jaunts by himself, either on foot or in a small shuttle, he was never included in any off-world missions. She wondered why. He was trusted, obviously, and seemed to be liked by most of the dreamers, though sometimes Staven seemed exasperated by him. She had never seen the mentor before, she was sure of that. With her memory, to see once was to remember forever. He puzzled her. Sen knew she herself had been lucky. Dana had taken her under her wing from the outset, and now the Twi'lek was the main partisan who worked with Sen. She'd passed all their tests with flying colors, demonstrating a believable level of familiarity with computers and forgery, and turning out high-quality faked documents. They still weren't ready to explain what the forgeries would be used for,
When asked if she knew how to pilot a vessel, she claimed ignorance. But she did ask if they would teach her to shoot. She explained that with her steady hand and sharp eyes, she might be good at it. Staven had said he'd think about it. It was a skeleton crew at the moment, as most of the Dreamers were currently off-world. Del was off tinkering with Piakow, and Staven and Gideon were heating rations and discussing piloting when Sen entered the main cavern, or, more precisely, arguing about piloting. "When are you going to let me show you what I can do?" Gideon was saying. "All in good time." "You're paranoid," Gideon said. He looked thoroughly exasperated, and Sen knew him well enough to know it wasn't entirely a performance. Gideon loved flying, and he was starting to push for more than the blue milk runs that Del had referred to. Somewhat to Sen's surprise, the tactic seemed to be working. "Saw taught me how to be paranoid," was Staven's reply. "It's kept us alive." "Yeah, well, it's keeping me grounded, and you're wasting a valuable resource." Staven smiled, almost indulgently. "I'll tell you what, when the others get back, I'll take you up on it. You can show me what you can do." Gideon pressed a hand to his heart. "Don't toy with me, Staven," he said, and both men laughed. They smiled a greeting at Sen as she entered and helped herself to some fruit, milk, and hard-boiled Preva eggs. "Sen," Staven said, rising. "Just the person I wanted to see. I got another job for you." He motioned her over and she obliged. "It's pretty simple compared to some of the others we've asked you to do. Identification cards for students at a small university." He handed it to her. The image of a young human male about Sidori's age stared back at her. Sen wondered how they had obtained the card, and if they had eliminated its owner. "Acceptable casualties," she reminded herself. She examined the card, thinking. "That doesn't look too difficult," she said. In reality, it would be almost pathetically easy. This obviously wasn't a military school which eliminated all kinds of challenges.
"For Sidori?"
Staven gave her an odd smile. "We'll need two, actually. One for Sidori and one for you, if we decide you're ready when the time comes." She was genuinely surprised and pleased.
"Me?"
she said, allowing the emotions to charge the word.
"Thank you."
"Don't thank me," Staven said. "Thank Sidori."
Sen ducked her head in a gesture of shyness. Sidori hadn't yet said anything to her other than the occasional greeting. This was an excellent development on many levels.
"I'll thank him as soon as he gets back. Do you think I'll be ready?"
"You'd better be," Staven said. "You two are the only ones the right age. Even Kaeve's too old for this, but don't worry. We got time yet to train you."
"Is it all right if I take my breakfast back with me?" she asked. "I'm anxious to get started on this."
Staven hesitated, then seemed to reach a decision about her.
"Sure, why not?" he said. "Just don't get any yolk on the document."
She laughed and left with her food, the ID card, and a lighter heart. When she entered the sleeping area, she was surprised to find someone, or rather something, waiting for her. It was Del's droid. Sen glanced around to make sure she was alone, then put the food down, turned to the droid, and pressed a button on the hovering machine. A small hologram of Del appeared.
"Give your comlink to the droid. When it gives it back to you, press the second button and say my name."
The hologram vanished.
"Second?"
Sen thought, confused. The comlinks used by the Dreamers had only one. Shrugging, she handed it over to the ID-10. It immediately went to work on the device, its limbs moving so quickly and deftly they were almost a blur. Once, it even produced a tiny chip. After a few moments, it booped to signal completion and handed the comlink back. It now had two buttons on it. Sen clicked the second one very carefully.
"Del?"
she said.
"It worked!"
Del's voice was relieved and delighted.
"But from now on, we need to be careful. Always start by using the name of the person you're calming, and if it's safe, they'll say clear. If not, just pretend you're reaching out for some other Dreamer-approved reason."
"Copy that. What did you do?"
"Essentially, you're now holding two comlinks. One that everyone can access, and one that only the four of us can.
You're a genius, Sen said.
Well, best of the best, right? I'm going to have the droid hook us all up as soon as I can.
Her pleasure faded.
Listen up. Before anyone walks in on me, there's something I have to tell you.